In your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 30 to 31, 32. John chapter 8, verse 30 to 31, or 33. Shall we stand as we read? Regardless what kind of version you have, the Lord knows people like to worship Him. We'll read all kinds of versions because I'm reading from New King James Version. You might have something else, but the essence I believe that you will read today will be the same all the way through, regardless what version you have. As He spoke these words, many believe in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Shall we pray? Loving Father, in the precious name of our Holy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to You humbly and ask You, dear Lord, to be gracious to show us Your presence and guide us, O Holy Spirit, as we worship You in spirit and in truth, that altogether Christ will be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we be seated, please? This morning, I'm humbled, but extremely grateful for giving me this opportunity to glorify our blessed Savior with you this morning. Pastor David Yields and his family took a break for a short time. Before he left, he asked me if I could share the word with you. And I reluctantly accepted it because I said there are a number of our young teachers and preachers that can truly provide us a message that can prepare our hearts to be to glorify and worship our Savior. But he twisted my arm and said, my spiritual arm, and said, "The Lord told me that you should do it, and who will try to stop when the Lord said to him, I have to preach." So today, before he left, he told me if I could share the word. And as I stand here today, kindly pray that the Holy Spirit would be in power in His word to work in my heart and as well as yours in each one of us. Because I don't have anything new to give you other than what the Scriptures have to share with us, and I pray that we will be true to it. Our text this morning is found, as I told you, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 30 to 32. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the New International Version, it says, "Even as He spoke, many put their trust or their faith in Him. To the Jews who have believed in Him, Jesus said, 'If you hold My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" If you were with us last Sunday in our worship, I'm sure you will agree with me that it was a glorious day as we praise and exalt the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our missionary report from Brother Ken Taylor and his wife, our missionary to Japan, move our hearts to see and bless our hearts to see that the hearts of the people of Japan has been touched by the preaching of the word as they sing and worship him, and perhaps even not knowing what they're singing sometimes in English, yet somehow the Spirit of God work in some of these Japanese people, and I'm glad to hear that the gospel is being presented and being worked out, being presented in the hearts of people around the world. It was a precious time that we have also last Sunday, people that have been with us for a long, long time, and the present members came together and find a common bond that they have to share the precious memory of being a part of CBU Baptist Church life. And we're so thankful that they were here to encourage us to keep on going. Let us continue to uphold one another in love as we share and serve our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lest we forget, let us impress in our whole being that we come together to worship. We offer all praise and glory to our holy and blessed Savior. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, I'm sure that you, many of us, have known this verse. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That's the passage that we just read. Today, as we look to his word, we will attempt to consider what he says about the marks of a good member of a local church. How would you assess a person's claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? How will I know that I am a true believer of Christ, and a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ? In the many, many years that I have been standing behind this sacred desk, I have have told a story about a man who is a very religious man. He loves to go to church, and usually he will attempt to go to church at least twice a day, one in the morning, one at night. And that's how dedicated he was. He goes to church every day. He has a business, however, where he sells what we call carabao. Carabao is an animal, domesticated animal, like a cow, huge animal. In water buffalo is one that maybe you can relate to if you look into some books. But this man, he sells this milk that from his cow to the people in the neighborhood. But before he sells this natural food that came from this animal, before he goes out and sells it, he does something to gain a little more profit. He climbs out the coconut tree and gets out those coconut fruit. And you see the coconut, if you have seen a coconut fruit, there are meat in there, and you grate it and they juice it, get the juice out of it. It tastes like milk. So what he does is he mixes it with his carabao milk and sells it around. At night he comes home, and at night before he goes to home, goes to go to bed, he goes around and pick up the collection. He pick up the payment of people. One night when he was doing this, there happened to be an evangelistic meeting going on in the neighborhood, in the town. And somehow the Lord has touched his heart, and he convicted him and got him to sit down and listen to the word. And he heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for him on the cross. He's a sinful man. He's an ungodly man. And he heard all about the things that he said about what happened to a person who really claims to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow he heard the word from this man, from the preacher, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And somehow the Spirit of God tore his heart, and he went home with this conviction, and he started working on his milking. The following morning, he went out and sold his milk again. But this time, because of the spiritual conviction that God laid on his heart, he did not put any more coconut milk. He just put pure caramel milk. And when he started collecting his dues, collecting the money to his customers, one of the customers that had been with him for a long, long time talked to him. He said, "Did you change your animal? Your milk tastes so delicious. It's thicker. It tastes different. It tastes good. Did you change an animal? Your animal?" And the old man said, "No, ma'am. The animal did not change. The man have changed." The Bible says to us that if any man be in Christ, if God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly have taken hold of your heart, there will be something that God will do in your life, and that is to change your heart. And the question that comes to us, if we are a member of our church, if you are a member of a local church, has there been a mark, just like we have in our study in Sunday school, has there been a mark, a time in your life that you seen the power of God in your life, in your experience, that you have changed into something that is more glorious and glorifying to him, relating to know that Christ as your Savior? For he said, if any man be in Christ, if you believe in him, but as many as receive to them gave him power to become the sons of God. But if he does, then he said, there will be marks that you will see in your own heart, in your own life. It might not be visible right away to people, but in your own life, you can see that there is something dramatically and spiritually God is doing in your life to change. In the light of God's holy word, we will see that the genuine followers of Christ are divided into two classes, two groups. They are believers and disciples. These two groups are true followers of Christ, and we this morning are a part of one or the other of these two groups of believers in Christ. In the context of our lesson this morning, it comes around the time when he had a confrontation with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. In the temple, they brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Throughout this chapter, the Lord revealed his life of devotion, his life of worship, his life of mission and teaching. Through this setting, many of the Jews believed him, and he declared that he is the only begotten Son of God. Looking through these verses, we will show you that the followers of Christ are divided into two groups. They are believers and disciples. These two groups are true followers of Christ, and we this morning can be a part of one or the two of these groups of Christ followers. Through the light of God's word, we will see that genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are divided into two groups or classes. They are, as I said, believer and disciples. Our scripture text says in King James Version, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the Bible, we find that the word believers are mentioned two times, pestio in the Greek. First, in the book of Acts, chapter 5:14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn it over there and see. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, and the other one that we can find is in the book of Timothy, First Timothy chapter 4:12, and I quote, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Whereas the word disciples, matateo, are mentioned 263 times in the Bible, 72 times in the book of Matthew, 46 times in the book of Mark, 38 times in the book of Luke, 77 times in the book of John, and 30 times in the book of Acts. Before the Lord ascended up to heaven, he said in Matthew 28:18-20, in the New International Version, it says, I quote, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Here we find that the Lord commanded his followers to make disciples of all nations. In our text we read in New Testament version, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These people heard the gospel, and they believe in him. I have several passages in my outline here this morning that I'm sure many of you know, but tells us about what happened when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. These are some of the things that they are typical common scriptures that maybe you know it by heart. Romans 10:9-17, it says, and I quote, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A believer is a newborn babe in Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 5:14, and I quote, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Romans chapter 10:9-10. If you would read with me, you will see that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, unto salvation. In the book of John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved by the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The church does not make believers. The church does not have the power to make believers. Only God makes believers. Amen? The church does not make believers. God does. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, again, these are scriptures that are very typical and common, but it has this just sharpness that God has in place in it to cut the heart of man and let them be convicted and be brought to his brought to him with faith and confidence in what Christ has done for us on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To be a believer, it is free. Christ paid it all. Romans 5:6-8, and I quote, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, but God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Believers are weak. They are still in bondage to sin and worldly things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul exhorted the Christians in Corinth in chapter 3, verse 1-3, and I quote again, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with milk, with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet not are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and walk as men? Hebrews 5:13-14 says, for everyone that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? What does the Bible say? For he is a babe. For he is a baby. That's what it says. For everyone that use milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, on the other hand, tells us a little bit different. It says in verse 14 of Hebrews, it tells us that strong meat belongeth to them that are of age. Even those who are recent of views have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is what the Lord commanded his church. Make disciples of these believers. Believers need examples, whereas disciples are examples. In John 8:31 says, if you continue in my words, ye are my disciples indeed. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is he that beloveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In the Greek, the word disciple means student that does not only believe the view of his teacher, but he also practices it. A true student of the word is not only a person or we would call it a disciple, is a student that does not only believe the view of his own teacher, but he also uses it or practices it. That man is considered and called an adherent, a person that not only talked about it, but lived the life that God is expecting us to be as his disciples. That is something that we have to consider and look into our own heart. If truly you are doing, you are practicing your Christian faith as you talked about it, you live it and live it daily and faithfully. Believers are saved by Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Disciples live by the power of the risen life of Christ. Believers are weak and immature. Disciples are strong and mature. Believers are weak and immature. Disciples are strong and mature. Disciples continue to live by the Word of God. They are feeding on the Word. Do you take time to read the Word of God on a regular basis? This morning again, our teacher reminds us about our attitude towards the Word of God. How many of you, he asks us, have read the whole Bible in your own life? And there are a number of people that can raise their hand that they have read the Bible. But how many of us have not actually read the Bible even last week? Did you have the time to have the time to look into God's Word? They feed on God's Word. What do you feed your soul in order for you to be able to face the onslaught of the power of the enemy that we are surrounded by every day? We should consider the importance of having a delightful taste for the Word of God. Then it also says, they are exercising on the Word. They are not only knowledgeable in the Word, but they live by it. Are we living the life that actually is exemplary, reflecting the presence of the Lord? They are training on the Word. They are being discipled and disciplined by the Word. Are you taking these issues that important in your daily walk? As we walk in and out every Sunday, we are from this church, are people beginning to see that this is a place that truly God exists, God lives, God prevails, God is presence around this? There was a time many, many, many years ago, there was a time and practice, even in the place where I came from in the Philippines, when people will come riding a car or walking in front of a church, they will take off their hat, recognize that this is the house of God, a place of the house of God. They will take off their hat. Now, none of those things are possible that you can do. They'll throw you to jail if you try to say anything about Jesus Christ in any public place. So we have the boldness to be able to speak and to share and to be willing to sacrifice your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Disciples are free from the power of sin. Believers need examples. Disciples are examples. Ye shall be my witnesses, the Bible says. Believers know what they believe. Disciples know whom they believe. That's the difference between the two. A believer knows what he believes. But if you are a mature believer in Christ Jesus, you will know whom you are acquainted, you're intimate with the Lord Jesus as your, not only as your friend, but as your lover, as the one, as your Savior, as your Lord, that gave him everything he has for your sake and my sake. To be a believer, it is free. Christ paid it all. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. To be a disciple, one must be willing to pay a price of discipleship. If you want to be my disciple, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something that I would like you to do for me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It's easy to be, to hear. It's easy to be able to remember it and to memorize it. But it is extremely, without the grace of God, difficult to live it without Him. So it is important for us to trust in the Lord in all our hearts, to trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And He, definitely, He said, will lead you your path. He will lead us in our path. To be a disciple, we must be willing to pay that price. What kind of a follower of Christ are you? Are you a babe in Christ, immature, or are you a spiritual, healthy disciple? How is your spiritual profile today? How does, when you look into your mirror in the morning, how does your profile look? Does it look shiny and happy and victorious before God? Or do you find yourself in such a miserable state of tragedy and sin? I hope and pray that you can pray like the Congo disciple who said, and I'll try to remember it very well. I hope and pray that you can pray like a Congo disciple who said, "Dear Lord, you be my needle and I'll be the thread. You go first and I will follow wherever you might lead." The true disciple is a witness to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us His presence. Be not simply a reflector of Christ. Be a radiator. Instead of being a question mark for Christ, we need to be a living example, an exclamation point for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be. Let's be a real follower that is not immature, but a disciple that is willing to say, "As for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Just like Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live with the love of God, He gave Himself to me, and He died for me." Are we living that kind of life? If we would like to have a true revival in our church, a true renewal of life, it is important and imperative in each one of us to submit ourselves to the point where we could truly say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." My wife, before I left for this morning, she knows that the old man is getting weaker. He wobbles as he walks, and I don't think you have known that my neurologist has spoken to me and told me that I have the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. That's why sometimes you find me not firm in the way I walk. I did not drink. I promise I did not drink. But I walk wobbly sometimes. But she said, "Why don't you just stay home and the Lord will know that you are sick." But I'd rather die in my boots on. Because that is what God is expecting us to be. He gave everything for you and for me. The least that we can do is to offer whatever He wants from us, that we can truly say, "Well, yes, He is my lover, and He is my King, my Lord, my coming King, that He will take us home to a place that He had promised. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." in my house that I'm, they said, places. I describe it as mansion. But I just want to, just a little place, not a mansion, that, just to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all that we need. That's the greatest gift that we could have. Amen. And so, as we continue to serve the Lord, and as we still can go, I haven't had driven a car for about almost a year because my grandson, Andrew, the one that plays the piano sometimes, he's not here, and today they're having a vacation. He has used my car, and my wife said, "Are you going to drive?" I said, "Yes, I don't have anybody to drive me. There are many offers for me to drive, but I said, I'll drive. The Lord will take care of me. And if I don't get home, you know where I'm going to be." So I have the opportunity to be able to take, to be able to have a, to drive a car for about a year that I haven't driven any. And I'm happy that I'll have a chance to be with you, to share with you, to challenge you, to provoke you, to provoke each one of us that we might be true to Him until the time He said, "It's enough. It's okay. You're ready to go home." But if not, let us keep on being a witness for Him, sharing with Him. We may not do what we used to do, going out visiting, calling on people, or going on mission field, but we can still be a living witness for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we might be. It might be in the church, where in our church we can surely share that kind of love that only Christ can give, the agape love that we're talking about, not the phileo one, but the agape, the love of God for each other, that we might have time to really have a deep appreciation for every member of the church, that we belong to each other, that we have responsibility to uphold each other until He comes. That is what He's expecting us. It's not only that we carry a good Bible, we memorize the Bible, we memorize the outline of the book, but all of these things are good, but it is not enough until our life really shines and reflects that we are His children and we belong to Him. Amen? And that's what I hope that we will be able to do today. I did not have a very theological, implicated message, but I have a simple cry to share with you, and that is, while we are still in this earth, and we still have the part of being able to be a part of the church, let us experience what it is to really care for each other, to really love and pray one for the other, to uphold those that are with us, that might going through temptation, trials, sicknesses, so many things that we hear every Wednesday night in our prayer meeting, our church dwindled to 8 or 10, or 12 every Wednesday night. It would be nice if we can see many of us being able to join together, where we can pray and hear the names of some of the people that needs your prayer, they need your help, they need your encouragement. We need that. And that is one way that we can actually be able to show that we love the Lord, as we not only come on Sunday, but on time that we can talk to the Lord about each other and talk to Him about our need as well as the need of the world around us. That is what I am praying, that we will remain and continue to be true until He comes again. Do you believe He's coming back again? Yes. Theologically, we might not be the same in eschatology, but we know one thing is sure. He is eminently be able to come anytime. And that is the expectation of each one of us, that the Lord will come. And when He comes, He will take us home. That's the blessing that we have today. And I want to thank you too for giving me this opportunity that I could stand. Somebody's giving me a nice suggestion. If you cannot make it, I'll give you a chair. I'll let you sit down. That's nice. I have a stool back here. That will be taken. That will be enough for me. But I don't need it. I can stand for at least an hour without having any problem being able to talk. And so these are just some of the issues that we could thank the Lord that there are some people that really express the love, the concern. Little ways, nobody knows who I'm talking about, who offered me a chair. But those are the spiritual root. The root of what it is. To be together. And to be one with Christ, with each other in the Lord. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for our church. We will continue to be faithful and to grow in our life in our prayer for Christ. Shall we pray? Most glorious, holy, loving God and Father of us all, we put our faith and trust in you. We're thankful for this day that you have given your children, that we can all come together, confess our sin, look at our own lives, as we, O Lord, endeavor to live a life that is consistent to what we claim to be. Help us, dear Lord Jesus, by your grace, truly to have the markings of a Christian that is mature, a disciple who truly could say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If our priority is indeed truly linked in establishing the fact that the anchor of our life is settled eternally in Christ Jesus, who gave his life enormously, that he gave everything that we don't deserve, and yet still loves us and forgave us and sustained us even up to this day. We thank you for this church and for those that part that becomes a part of this church. May you truly, dear Lord, we find more and more disciples that are truly willing to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live daily is to live a life that is reflective of his presence in mine. And I pray that you will just, Lord, undertake as we will go home tonight, this afternoon, may we continue, dear Lord, to be able to have a wonderful, wonderful joy of being able to worship you in spirit and truth. And that together and individually we might continue to know how to touch each other's life by praying one for the other, sustaining one another, helping one another in many different ways that, Lord, the needs are made known to us, especially for those that are going through many sicknesses. We remember, the Lord, number of our people that are having families in their life that are dying and sickly, and we need thee, Lord. They need your grace, and help us, dear Lord, to be able to pray for them. Pray with them, that truly, O God, in your grace, they will have sufficient strength to be able to face whatever, Lord, you have in store for them, whatever you have, dear Father, laid out for each one of us. So we pray that even as we go home this afternoon, that your blessed hand will be upon each one of us. Touch our soul, and if there's any sin that needs to be confessed, confess it, dear Lord, and help us that as we go home, we know that we have laid on the bottom of the cross the sin that easily besets us, that we might truly live a life exemplary and holy and acceptable in your sight. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship and presence and kindness and direction and wisdom of the Holy Spirit be in each one of us today and forevermore. Amen. The people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.